So this morning what I would love to do, and the reason we've been looking at Matthew 18, those first few verses, is that I wanted to share, I think, a little bit of what I feel like the Lord's been pounding into my heart and soul in the last few weeks, I guess. And it comes from these verses. So maybe just pray one last time as we just look at this verse together. Yeah, Lord, would you bring the sharpness of your sword? Your word is like a sword. Would you bring its sharpness to our souls this morning? And Lord, would you please, in your strength, bring the hammer of your word to our hearts, because your scripture says your word is like a hammer. And Lord, would you also bring the water of your word to the desert of our souls, so that we would be refreshed and renewed. And Father, would you please bring the light of your word to the deepest parts, the deepest crevices of our heart, Lord, that we might be set free. So, Father, that's what we're asking, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice that this whole passage in Matthew chapter 18 starts off actually with a question from the disciples. And the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him a question. And this is the question they ask in verse 1. They say, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who has got the highest rank? Who is first? Who's got the status above any other status? And really it's a question about comparisons. I guess they know that in a kingdom, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, they know that in any kingdom there's a king and he sits at the top, the king. In a normal kingdom, there'd be under the kings. Maybe you'd have princes and maybe you'd have lords and maybe you'd have other rulers, but there's this hierarchy of authority and a hierarchy of greatness. And it's not just, I don't think, an intellectual question for these disciples, because if you read in Mark, the disciples were actually arguing themselves. And they were saying, no, I'm the greatest. And who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus actually calls them out and says, what have you been arguing about? Have you been walking along the road? Maybe you remember that James and John's mum come to Jesus one day, and she actually says to Jesus, oh, can you do me a favour? And Jesus says, yeah, what would you like? And she says, could you please grant that one of these two sons would sit on your right hand in the kingdom and the other one would sit on your left hand? Is that okay by you if we just... she said, I don't really mind which one's which. I'm flexible. But just want one on the right and one on the left. Jesus is actually very gentle in his answer to her, but it's a question of comparison. I just want them above. I want them greater than others. And you know, that whole question of comparison really does enter into our lives in all sorts of ways. Every one of us. Comparisons that we make. So if you think of a superpower, for example, and they display all their military might, they've got all their weaponry on display, they've got these massive, massive massive armies marching like clockwork, displaying what? Greatness. They're displaying their greatness. That's millions are poured in to just one thing, and that is to display that we are great. Or if you just look at our own political system, we've got one political party that is doing all they can to make the other side look small and weak and stupid and ignorant. And why is that? So that we will look great, that we will look smart and just on the ball, and that we're better. We're just totally. So it's always a display that I just need to make sure that everyone knows that I'm above the other. You know, all the way down to school, if you go to the schoolyard, and we've all lived in schoolyards, and probably there's none of us, I don't think there's probably any of us here that haven't been bullied in some sort of way. But whatever goes on in bullying, I think one essential element is that someone is saying to someone else, I'm greater than you. I'm just going to put you down. I'm above. This is a comparison thing happening here, and I'm up here, and you. I just want you to know that you're down. I'll use whatever tactics, whether it's revealing something on the internet that's embarrassing to make you low, or it might be that I'm going to threaten you, or whatever it takes. I just want you to know that you are low, and I am high, because this is all about comparisons, and it sneaks in to our everyday life, and I'm guilty of admitting my guilt before you all. We're all guilty because we want to, in one way or another, say I'm more gifted than you, or I'm wealthier than you, or I'm better looking than you, or I've got more connections than you, or I'm just cooler than you. One way or another, you are down here and I'm up here. And the focus is always about I need to be greater, and I need everyone to know that I'm greater. And Jesus says, the disciples say, Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus actually doesn't even say a word to begin with. Do you know what he does? He sees a little child. Little child like Jaden, little toddler, says, come, little boy, little girl, come here. Takes this little child, and it says that he places this child among them. And then he says, truly, I tell you. When he says truly, in the old King James Version, it says, verily, verily, I tell you. Truly, truly. It's a very solemn word when Jesus says that. He says, I'm just going to tell you something extremely important at the moment. Just listen. Just listen. Unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So here is this little child, and put amongst these men that are jostling for position, and they'd never even considered this little child anyone to even be threatening their position of greatness. They just totally overlooked him, and Jesus brings this little child and says, hey, just have a look here. This little one, unless you change, unless you drop all your desire for comparisons and making comparisons, you'll never even enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, forget about greatness. You won't even get in the gates. You won't even touch first base unless you're able to make yourself a little child. So the reason I'm prepared to make a big thing about this morning with you and with me is because Jesus makes a big thing about it. He says, I want you to know you're not entering the kingdom. You're not even getting in unless you change and become like a little child.
unless you turn. In other words, unless you have other thoughts, a deep change, you're in danger. Do you know the reason I think that the danger is so great? It's because the kingdom of darkness has a modus operandi and a mode of operation, and the kingdom of heaven has a different one. Many people think that in Isaiah 14 it describes what's happening in the heart of Satan. So let me read it to you. A few verses from Isaiah 14. Talking about Satan. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly and on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds and I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realms of the dead, to the depths of the pit. You see, the kingdom of darkness is saying in their heart, deep in their heart, I just want to be greater. I will ascend. I will be above. I will put myself above. I will do whatever I can to climb, and I'll put others low, and I will be above. And it's all about me. The focus is on me, and it's all going to be me. Me, me, me. Totally me. The kingdom of darkness. And Jesus says, little child, come here. Just a little tiny one, little toddler. Kingdom of heaven is the opposite. Unless you change and become like a little child to accept a place that is at the bottom of the pecking order, Jesus often says stuff like, the first will be last and the last will be first. There is to be in heaven not a yearning to be greater than someone else. You know, if you put a little child, think of two little children. One's the child of the chief magistrate in the court and the other's the child of the garbage collector. And you put them both, little tiny toddlers. There's no even sense of any comparison. They're not thinking like that. They'll just play there happily because they're not seeking greatness. You know, we as human beings do a lot of things to make us look pretty good in the eyes of others. All of us do. I'm not claiming I'm exempt from this. I'm declaring this as a guilty one in this. But all of us... say, I hope people will see and admire me. For we're different, what we desire to be admired for, but I hope they see my job and they admire me. Hope they see my education. Hope they see my tattoos. Hope they see how fit and strong, and I hope they see that I'm a terrific sportsman and they admire. I hope they see my car. I hope that they admire me one way or the other. And Jesus says, just a little child. Got nothing to boast in. A massive change for a human being to come like a little child. Nothing to boast in. You take this lowly position, Jesus says. A lowly position for us to say, okay, you know, I so much want to be like this. I'd actually desire, I want to be like this. To know what it is, just to take a lowly position like a child. Because I can't help thinking of that woman. Do you remember the one There was rich people in the temple. They were really, really rich. And they were putting amazing amounts of money in the coffers in the temple. And everyone was very, very impressed. Look how generous they are. They're just pouring their money in. They should be admired. And Jesus looks quite past them and he says, gathers his disciples together and says, see this little woman. Do you see her? She put in her 2 copper coins. Where God sees greatness is totally different to where we see greatness. Man looks on the outside and God looks at the heart. Jesus just totally overlooks what we think is magnificent. Oh, we want your autograph. Oh, we want to be near you. Oh, you are just so... God just totally looks past that and he sees greatness in somewhere, something just totally, totally different. Greatness in the kingdom of heaven is not thinking, even thinking about greatness. And do you know this can bind us up? I would be bold to say it is one of the things that is most inclined to bind human hearts more than many things is this desire of comparison, always comparing. And we get just totally, totally bound up. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. He actually does not say that there's no such thing as greatness. He doesn't say, oh no, there won't be any such thing as greatness in the kingdom of heaven. What he's saying is that in the kingdom of heaven, greatness is totally upside down to what you think it is. So what I want to do just for a few minutes is just consider some aspects of greatness in the kingdom of this world and how we receive them as a child in the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you what I mean. Let's do number one. Number one is, and these are not in order of priority, but they're just how I see them. Number one is identity. Identity is a big deal. We really want an identity. We want to be someone. But if you are a king of a nation, or if you are a high-powered person one way or another, you've got your identity. You've got a big, huge identity. Your face could be plastered all over the city. Your name could be on the television. You are a household. You've got a big identity. Your identity could be tied up with your wealth or as your political power, or it could be that you're royalty. But now think of a child, a little tiny child, little. You might say, where's their identity? But their identity is more secure than anyone's identity when they come to their parents, when they come to their mum or their dad. They've just got this identity that is not accomplished by anything that they've done. They've just got this identity in who owns them, who loves them. And so they've received this identity. You know, a little child doesn't have to come and impress anyone. So many times I think I've got to impress this way or that way or whatever. A little child just runs to the parents' arms. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to accomplish anything. Their identity is given. It's a gift. And so I just want to say to you this morning that as we come as a child, this is a deep relief to us in terms of identity. You will find relief for your souls if you come to God as a child and say, Lord, I'm just yours. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to perform. I'm just yours. Just think of that word of Jesus at his baptism where the Father spoke to heaven and said, this is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. And Jesus' identity, Jesus was able to strip off his clothes, his outer clothes, put a towel around his waist and go and wash feet. Why? because he knew who he was. It says in John 13, he knew where he was coming from, he knew where he had come from, he knew where he was going. His identity was secure. He didn't have to perform to anyone. And so it freed him to wash feet. That's the first one. But think secondly about security. In the kingdom of this world, if you live in a big palace, or if you've got a lot of money, and if you're very, very great, you're secure. You have your security guards, you have your security gates, you've got all the CCTV, no one can get in, and you are totally secure. But when you think of a little child, you say, well, they're not secure. They haven't got wearing any armour. They've got no self-protecting vests. They are the most vulnerable of all. But in actual fact, in the kingdom of heaven, a child is the most secure of all, because we have the Lord, our host, as our protector. He's our king. In Psalm 27, it says, the Lord is our stronghold. Not that the Lord gives us a stronghold, but the Lord himself is our stronghold. He's our stronghold. Any child of the Lord of hosts is the most secure person. No one can touch you without the Lord say so when you are a child of the king. You're more secure than anyone. I still haven't kind of worked out the best word for this next one, but I've called it fullness. What do I mean by fullness? Well, if you imagine someone that's high up in the kingdom of this world, they've got a lot of stuff. They accumulate a huge amount of stuff, and they've just got this fullness about them. They're just nothing, all this stuff. And you think of a child, got nothing, unless you're a child of the God of heaven. And if you're the child of the God of heaven, then you got everything, because nothing that he owns is not yours, because you're owned by him. You didn't. A little baby does not earn their food, and they don't earn their clothes, and they are always receiving. Always receiving. And their eyes, their little eyes, just look up and say, oh, I need more, I need this, or I need that. A child is a receiver. I would love to be like that. I would so much love to be like that, to have a heart that looks to God and says, Lord, I can't do it, I can't get it, I can't accomplish it, but I'm looking to you, because if you come through, then unless you come through, nothing's going to happen. But when you come through, all the glory goes to you. But a child is someone who is always just running to their parents and saying, Lord, Mom, Dad, I need. Identity, security, fullness. But think also of power. If you're ahead, if you're high in the kingdom of this world, you've got tremendous power. You might have power over the military machine. You might, if you're a big businessman, you've got tremendous power to build this massive skyscraper and employ many, many people, and you've got tremendous power. What if you're a child, a little child? They've got no power. Except that Jesus says to his disciples, you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And I said this earlier this morning, I said, oh, maybe when I say that you think, oh, is that all? And I hope you don't think like that. I'll tell you why. Because I know if you're high up in politics, and if you're a young person here, you're going to go into politics, may God go with you, because we need good people in politics. But let me say something else, and that is, that's not the ultimate place of power. It really isn't. Because the politicians have no idea how to change our society. Sure, we can make the jails bigger. Sure, we can lock up more. Yes, we can increase the policing. Yes, we can do it. But we still don't know how to change it. It's just failing. But I'll tell you what, there's one thing that is incredibly powerful, and that is the work of the gospel to change a heart, to transform. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you power, insane, incredible power from heaven if you become a child. You've just got to become a child. Remember John Piper, who's extremely influential Baptist preacher in America and across the world, really, saying, I'm the most influential person in this whole church because I'm the senior pastor. Except for a few little old ladies who pray every Monday morning. They're more influential than me. Because that's power. That's true. I don't know whether... I suspect not many of you believe that, actually. But power is in prayer. Power is not how you think power. Identity, security, fullness, power. And lastly, let me say just something about closeness. Closeness to authority. Because if you can walk into the president's Oval Office, then you have got closeness to authority. If you're one of the aides to the Prime Minister, you've got proximity to authority. But if you're a child of God, then our real treasure is our relationship with our Lord. It's not these things. I see it and you see it. Many, many people are loving the things of this world. And there's many beautiful things in the world, but it trumps everything, and that won't ultimately supply our true treasure. You might say, I would love to be a child. Like, how do I become? How do I get out of my heart all this comparison stuff, all this stuff where I feel like I have to perform? How do I get that change? I'll tell you how. It's when your true treasure becomes the Lord himself. When he himself, because everything that we have, all the stuff that I'm accumulating at the moment, whether it be a car or a farm or clothes or money or whatever it is, and same with you, you're not taking it. It's not going to be yours. The thing that you will take is your proximity, your closeness, your union with God. That's the thing. So closeness to authority. Do you know... Let me say lastly that if we become like a child, and I know it's totally contrary to everything this world does, because everything is display of greatness. All the television, all the famous people, all they're just sort of so great. But if we hear what Jesus is saying in radical contradiction to the world, then we become bearers of the image of Christ ourselves, because he left glory, left all his glory, and came as a child, as a little baby. He emptied himself and became nothing, and he lived in relative obscurity. But he was exalted to the highest place. Greatness. All the steps down. He became obedient instead of rebellious. Even to death on the cross. All the way down he went. And it says God exalted him to the highest place. And now the Lord is calling us to be bearers. There is great greatness promised for the believers. Incredible riches. Incredible what the scriptures promise for us. But in this world, we are to be those like a child. And I've just got this deep longing in my own heart. Lord, please, would you change me Would you change all of us? You know, as a church, we will be more powerful in our city. We will be more secure. We will have a greater identity. We will be more useful to God if we've just got this childlike, not childish, like little brats, childlike heart before the Lord. And oh, how he can use us. So I'm just calling you to be children. Children are the ones, like no one else, that just go and receive and expect and say, please will you give me? And the Lord is asking. It's the best of both worlds, because the Lord is longing for us to ask. You do not ask because you do not receive because you do not ask. And so we are to be receivers ultimately of grace, the grace of Christ that he gives us. Let me pray. Lord of heaven, would you please change all of us to become like little children? Yeah, please, Lord, that we might know the freedom of that and the joy and the power and the security and the identity that comes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.